Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio. We ask that you hold your phone calls until after the top of the hour news, and we'll try to work that in. If you want to jot that number down, it's 541-472-1270. And when you hear the radio coming back through your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live. A bit of a departure today for this Tuesday Talk Show. I have a special guest coming in via telephone, as a matter of fact, and from the Rubicon Financial Advisors, we have Brian Russell on board. Brian, welcome to the microphones of KAJO Radio.
Hey, good morning, Chuck. How's it going up there today?
Well, so far so good. It's fall weather here, and that's happening on the calendar, and it's happening outside our windows, but still, it's a great place to be. It is still the climate, as I'm sure you're aware, here in Grants Pass, Oregon. Now, Rubicon Advisors is actually the parent company for Holland & Holland, who has been providing our stock market reports at 8 o'clock for many, many years now. There are some changes coming in the future, and we can get to that later. But first of all, let's learn about Rubicon Advisors, and tell me about the company there, Brian.
Yeah, so I grew up here in Grants Pass, lived there all my life. I graduated from Grants Pass High School in 1995, went on to Simpson University down in Redding, California, where I majored in history and social sciences and got a master's in education and administration. And I then segued in kind of into the insurance field, where what I ended up doing was selling mostly long-term care, medical supplements, that sort of thing. Owned a small little shop there in Grants Pass called Russell Financial Group back in the day. And then, as we all know and remember, 07 and 08 hit, which caused a lot of consternation, I think, for a lot of people, and took my family down to the Bay Area and joined A.G. Edwards. I got my securities license down there and worked for A.G. Edwards for a couple of years, and then ended up working, getting recruited and working for Merrill Lynch in 2009. And in 2012, Merrill started, you know, screwing around with my paycheck a little bit, and I knew I could run an office, as I did it up in Grants Pass. So I started Rubicon, and we were in a small little office down in Elk Grove, California, and then branched out to Napa. And then in 2013, I got the opportunity to buy a practice in Redding, California, and it just took off from there. We started opening up other branches and recruiting advisors to join our firm, which we'll probably go into more in a little bit. But we have offices in Redding, California, Roseville, California, Grants Pass, and Scottsdale, Arizona. And wanted to provide a place where advisors could collaborate, yet run their own books of business, meet with their own clients, not be saddled down with commissions or sales quotas or anything like that, but truly be able to run a business how they felt for their clients.
Well, how did Holland & Holland fall into that particular category? And, of course, you're a hometown boy, so welcome back home.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I know my mom's happy about that. So I've known Rob for, 25 years. He kind of would give me guidance from time to time as we would, as I would look at selling different insurance products, or when I got the opportunity to go work for A.G. Edwards, I sat down with Rob, asked him, you know, got his advice on what I should do. And then when I was able to purchase the Reading book, I gave Rob a call and said, hey, is this a good deal? What should I look for? What am I missing? And then just out of happenstance, a couple of years ago, I called Rob up and said, hey, how are you liking where you're at? We're expanding. Didn't know if you wanted to join our firm. And he said, well, Brian, funny enough that you called, because I'm actually looking at stepping back and retiring and wanting to travel with my wife and with Denise and those sorts of things. And so we came to an understanding, and I purchased his practice a couple of years ago, and we've been working in the transition and getting clients settled for the next stage.
All right. Tell me about that next stage. What is the next stage? Or, well, really, what are you dealing with? Are we talking about mostly retirees, or are we talking about planning for retirement? And what age should I be talking to you?
Yeah, you know, that's the million-dollar question I always get when I go to these conferences or other things is, what's my ideal client? And, you know, we work with clients among the whole gamut. We work with clients that are getting ready to retire. We're getting ready with clients that are retired. We're working with families when maybe a loved one has passed away and they don't know where to start and they're going through boxes and you know, where is everything at? We also deal with young families, you know, starting out, having children and needing to set up college plans. So what we really try to focus on is meeting the clients where they need to be met. And, because everybody's different. Even two retirees side by side are different and they have different needs, different goals and, want different outcomes. So that's what we try to do is we sit down to look at clients individually. We implement financial planning. We actually have a, CFP as one of our advisors on board. So we have the expertise in some of those areas where maybe it's a little more of a niche area or something people are wanting to do.
You said CFP, Certified Financial Planner, is it?
Yeah, his name is Steve Berrio. He's actually out of our Roseville office and primarily works with 401ks and that sort of thing. So again, with the advisors that we have, you know, even though I'm back in the Grants Pass office and doing those things, the resources we have with the many advisors that we have with our firm, we can find those different niches and specialty areas that if I don't know the answer, pretty much can guarantee that I can get that for you because we have somebody on our team that can handle that. So,
all right. First of all, I know that the office either has moved or is moving. So where do we find you now? And
either has moved or will be moved. Well, we have moved. We were on the corner of 5th and E Street. And with the transition of moving from Holland Capital to Rubicon Advisors, we felt the best to also change location, something a little easier for some of our clients to get into the building and give it a little bit of a restart. So, the address is 315 Southwest 7th Street, but as I think 90% or more people in town know, it's the old Photoden building. And that's what I always tell people is they go, oh, where's that at? And then I say, it's the old Photoden building. Oh, yeah, I know exactly where that's at. So we're in the old Photoden building right there in downtown and just got the construction done and moved in, and we are up and running.
Easy parking, easy to get to, great location, and certainly very, very visible. Now let's really talk about what you do there. What is Rubicon's vision for now and for the future moving ahead?
That's again another $1 million question, Chuck. You know,
I'm asking
our,
you financially.
This industry.
I was going to say, million-dollar questions to a financial advisor. So.
I know. Yeah, right. You know, this industry is always changing, and I go to these conferences, and they always give us insight and tell us, okay, this is what the investor is looking for. What I have found, and I've been doing this for a long time, but what I have found is that clients just want to be heard. Clients want to be valued, and they want to know that someone's listening and working on their behalf. And so what our vision is to bring kind of a level of sophistication, investment sophistication to Southern Oregon and to share the new technologies that are out there that allow us to do our job more efficiently with greater accuracy and to also provide just top-tier service. I would put our staff not only in the Grants Pass office, but among our other branches, up against any staff in the world. They're professional. They get their job done. They do it with a smile on their face. And I think we see that when a client maybe loses a loved one and we're able to get that account and estate settled for them and, you know, where we see that kid go to college because their parents have been saving in a 529 plan, we're able to see the end results of the hard work. And so I think, like I said, our vision is just really to provide top-tier investment services that, you know, you can't really find anywhere else.
You mentioned new services or new interventions or new styles. What are some of those new initiatives or services or strategies that you're most excited about that would really interest our listeners?
Yeah, well, I think a couple of years ago, a lot of people, you know, it was all hot to trot to do robo-advising, right? We'll let the algorithms figure it out, and I'll just plop my money somewhere. I'll step back, and the computers will run it. And I remember just hearing in these meetings that my job was threatened, and that didn't turn out to be the case. Robo-advising, for the most part, kind of gone away. And I think we hear a lot about AI and what the world is going to look like with AI. And I'm bringing AI into our practice, not necessarily for investment research or investment choosing, but I'm using it to help take my notes, help do follow-up meetings with clients, and that has been able to create efficiencies in my business that allow me to spend more time with clients. So I think that's some things that by using technology in a proper way, you know, we can be more of a value add in those areas where we can take that time rather than just be a number and be a client, that we can actually spend the time, you know, with our clients. I think out there in the world, you know, the problem is as you well know, we get our information so quickly. And our goal is to be able to create strategies for our clients using that up-to-date information in a proper way. I'm proud to say that in my own portfolio models that I do for clients, I've had the opportunity to meet and know about half of the portfolio managers that are in my portfolios. And that allows us to have that meet with them. It allows us to know what their vision is, what they think the market's going to do, what they think geopolitical tensions are going to do, and where then we can look at it and decide whether or not that fits our clients' needs.
All right. Do you have a crystal ball? What do you see for the next 5 or 10 years in your industry here? Where are we going?
Oh, Chuck, if I had a crystal ball, I'd probably be on a beach somewhere. Yeah, because that's probably one of the number one questions I get from clients is what is a crystal ball? I think in the next 5 to 10 years, I see a couple of changes in the industry. Again, like we just talked about, AI, creating more efficiencies, helping advisors get through some of those daily tasks. But I think there's going to be a weird phenomenon going on in the 5 to 10 years, which is that next generation of advisor that is coming up through the ranks. They're a product of the 2007-08 financial crisis. They saw their parents lose homes. They saw their parents, you know, struggle with employment. And so there's a perspective there of this next generation that I think is going to be quite interesting. Some of the younger advisors that I've met, and we got one joining us, and Texas test in the next couple of days, so we'll be making more announcements in the future on that. But with this new generation, it's going to be fascinating, and I think that's going to really dictate the markets and how different industries are going to be placed and that sort of thing.
All right. Well, let's deal with some specifics now. What is the Really, what are the first questions that you get asked by a potential client when they walk into your room?
Yeah, I get a couple. I think the main question is we sit down in the office, you know, we make small talk, and but they want to know when they can retire. I want to know if I can retire. When can I retire? I think that's really on the forefront of really everybody's mind, including, you know, maybe a 25-year-old that comes in to talk or an 85-year-old, you know, is what does my retirement look like? And so that's number one. Number two, it's why am I not making money? Why am I making money? Why, if the market's up, I'm not making as much, or if the market's down, why am I not down as much, you know, what's going on. So we really take time to discuss the risk that is in clients' portfolios. And I think that's an often overlooked piece of the pie when we're sitting with clients, because it depends on what type of roller coaster ride you want to go on. We know the market's going to go up and down. That is just a fact. So, but what kind of ride do you want? If you're super aggressive, if you're going to be nauseous at the end of it because it's going to go way up and way down. If you tend to be super conservative, you may not make as much, but the ride's going to be a lot gentler for you. So we really try to find that sweet spot for clients, because a lot of times when we then answer question number one, what do you need to retire? Maybe somebody needs 6% of their portfolio a year to retire. Well, why am I being super aggressive at 9 or 10% if all they need is 6%? So it allows us to really manage the risk when we know kind of what the retirement is. And then I think thirdly is, you know, clients always want to know the future. They want to know where we're going from here, what the economy is doing, how politics plays a role in that, and that sort of thing. And so, you know, we try to be very non-biased, but to go in there and really lay out, you know, just data-driven facts. It's the data, you know, and the numbers.
You mentioned when a potential client just comes in and sits down, you mentioned small talk. Is there a design for that small talk to really find out what is important to your client and what his likes and dislikes are, or his or her likes or dislikes, or which way they lean, how much risk that they're willing to take? Is that part of that process?
Chuck, you're letting me give away all my secrets, man. You know, there is, right? I mean,
we can have all those people turn their radios off out there.
Yeah, exactly. This is the secret sauce. So, you know, I go through all these classes, right? And you know, it's funny, the industry has really taken a hold of behavioral science, right? And so some of those classes I've been in through, I just want to know I can have a conversation with my client. If I can have a conversation where we're laughing, we're talking about our families, we're talking about traveling, we're talking about interests that we both really like and stuff, you know, that gives us, there's a comfort level there. Because I really do believe that if you don't have a comfort where you can just relax, you're going to be a lot more difficult to be able to tell me the secrets of your finances, which is very personal for everybody. And so I like to have that small talk, because I definitely want to know if they're an Oregon Ducks fan and not a Beavers fan. Sorry for the Beavers fans out there. But,
yeah,
you know, I want to know how, you know, where do they kind of somewhat sit politically, just so I don't offend anybody. I want them to know why I got into the business and, you know, my thoughts and my mission statement for our firm, you know, and I want them to have that comfort level. I read an article a couple of years ago that said that 75% of all people that go and visit their financial advisor equate it as going to the dentist. And so what we really tried to do, which is a really scary thought, so what we really tried to do is say, look, when you come into our office, it's going to be inviting. We're going to go through the bad news. We're going to go through the good news. But at the end of the day, you know you've got a team behind you that's really going to hold your hand. I've had several clients pass away. I have several widows where their husbands have passed, and I've gotten to hold their hand, and their husbands know that I've got them, that I'm going to make sure that they're going to be okay. And then that's, you know, what a good financial advisor is ultimately looking at doing.
All right. As a financial advisor, let me ask you just a strange question here. Are you a stock picker, or are you an advisor? Do you give advice like that? We know you're not Charles Schwab.
Well, I appreciate that. I am not a stock picker. I I try. You know, there's so many stocks out there, and one piece of news and the stock tumbles, and you know, and so I tend to do what's portfolio management as a fiduciary advisor. So we are fiduciary advisors, and I build portfolios with mutual funds and what we call ETFs. ETFs are very similar to mutual funds. They're a basket of stocks, but they trade like a stock daily and throughout the day, where mutual funds will trade at the end of the day. And so I build a portfolio that is based on somebody's risk level. So going back to that other question a little bit ago, what is your risk? I design the portfolio based on someone's risk, so that the risk versus reward that we're receiving is right in line with how aggressive or not aggressive they want to be. And so, but the nice thing is, in our cadre of advisors with Rubicon, we have a couple of advisors that are stock pickers, and they're very good at what they do. And so if I have a client that comes in and is just saying, hey, Brian, I want a stock, find me a stock, get me a stock, I don't care, I want a stock, I make a call, say, hey, what are your top five? Tell me why. We talk about it. So I get that information and those resources to my other clients to be able to say, hey, look, you want a stock? I don't necessarily pick stocks, but somebody I trust and respect, this is their conviction and this is why, and I think this could fit in your portfolio or not. And so we discuss that.
All right. Then is it fair to say that you're really talking about a balanced approach here for growth, income, and then amount of risk? How do you balance all three of those, and does it depend on the individual?
It definitely depends on the individual. We do a risk analysis for each of our clients to see where they stand. And basically, there's five different risk categories. You've got conservative, income with growth, growth with income, growth, and aggressive growth. And because I'm a fiduciary advisor, all of my models look very similar. They all have the same mutual funds, ETFs, bond funds, etc. They're all the same. Whether you're in my conservative portfolio or my growth portfolio, the funds are pretty much all the same. The difference is, in our conservative portfolio, you may have 60, 70% in bonds, which tend to be less aggressive and tend to be a lot more conservative. And then if you're in a growth or aggressive portfolio, you may have 70, 80% in equities and very little or nothing in bonds. And so that's how we're able to adjust the risk. And then, you know, a growth and income, which is your balanced or moderate portfolio, you might be at 65% equities or stocks and 35% in bonds.
All right. We're coming up to I've got about 3 minutes left here before we have to take a break for news, and then we'll certainly continue. But what are the most common questions you get asked today?
Oh, I get asked the political question, right? What do these policies mean to my portfolio? What are interest rates going to do to my portfolio? Again, do I have enough to retire? You know, it seems lately the number one question is, hey, Brian, do I have enough money? I need to put a new roof on my house. So it just seems like all my clients need new roofs right now. But, or you know, Brian, I need a new car. How is this going to affect my income? I'm already receiving income off of my portfolio, but now I need a car. What do I do? And so, you know, again, it's meeting regularly with the clients to be able to then make sure that when these little things happen, we're making the best decisions that we can.
How often do you need to meet with a client?
Well, I'm required by law, actually, to meet with my clients at least once a year. My advisory clients, those that fall under the fiduciary models, I'm required to meet with them once a year, whether phone call or face to face. But I've tried to set up a procedure and to meet with my clients 3 to 4 times a year, roughly every quarter or every 4 months. Usually it's anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour meeting to go over you know, their investments. We go over, you know, quasi-financial plan side of how's the income working out, or they don't need income. We're just looking at their family budget and such.
All right. Fascinating. More questions coming your way, but we're getting ready to take a break for the national news at the top of the hour. Brian, we'll be right back with you right after that. So if you'll stay with us, we'll continue here. You're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO, Grants Pass, Oregon.
Planning your own addition for extra space or...
Welcome back. Tuesday Talk Show in progress, ladies and gentlemen. We'll open the phone lines here. If you have a question or comment for our guest today, the number is 541-472-1270, and we'll put you on, let you air your question or comment to our guest today, Brian Russell of Rubicon Advisors, really absorbing Holland and Holland Financial Advisors here that have been on our air for years and years and years. And once again, I want to welcome back to the microphones of KAJO, Brian Russell, certainly a hometown boy. There are lots of different people that you see here, and I imagine coming in from all different walks of life and age categories. Let me just paint a picture here of a 35-year-old family, two children, medium income, want to start planning for retirement. Am I too late or am I too early?
No, you're never too late. I mean, maybe if you want $20 million a month at age 90, you might be a little too late. But, you know, I think at 35, you know, you're looking at buying your first home. You're looking at, you're getting a family going. And so I think there's some things you can plan for. I definitely recommend, figuring out a budget, making sure your spouse and you are on the same page to be able to save and to be able to then invest the difference. I think it becomes overwhelming for a lot of people, and so because it's overwhelming, they just don't do anything. My wealthiest clients are the ones that save and get out of debt. That's it. It really isn't rocket science on that. Is the ones that save and get out of debt are the ones that tend to do the best in retirement. And so really when you're starting out, it's seeing what does your employment offer. Do they offer a 401k? Are they matching it? You know, what do you have to offer with it, you know, to be able to get the match and et cetera. And those are things that we can help with. And then even beyond that is making sure you have a good life insurance plan in case, you know, God forbid something does happen, you know, that your kids will be taken care of. And so it's not always just investing, it's just planning. And it's getting a plan, implementing that plan, and seeing the plan through.
All right. I started out at 35. Maybe I should have started out at 25, and I'm a single man maybe looking to get married. What kind of advice do you give me there?
Well, I think, you know, you definitely need to have a financial talk with the person you're looking at married to make sure you guys are on the same page. You know, one person in the family tends to be a spender. The other person tends to be a saver. How do you get on the same? And that's just statistics. So how do you reconcile that when you're working really, really hard and the one you want to marry likes to go shopping every week? So you got to have those hard conversations. We've been in the middle of a lot of those, where we sit down with our husband and wife clients and just say, hey, look, this is your options. You got to cut back your spending. You got to do this. You got to do that. So it's helping create a safe, good environment for people to have those conversations and not feel attacked and to be able to share how they see their finances.
Okay. If I'm 25 and coming to you, how much of my income should I be saving or putting aside for you? And are you expensive for me as I'm just really getting started in my life?
Yeah, no, actually we're pretty affordable. Everybody's different, depending on the plan and what you're doing. Sometimes it's just getting you into some sort of model portfolio where it's, you know, having consistent contributions every month. We did that for quite a few of our clients. Other people bring in lump sum. So everybody's different. So it's hard to just to say, you know, what do we do here? But because everybody's different. But I would say it's sitting down and making that plan of what can you invest and what some reasonable expectations are with what you're investing.
All right. We've been talking about younger families, 25 to 50. Now, let's move ahead and compare to maybe not retirees yet, but suddenly I'm 50 years old and retirement is out there looming and I'm looking at the mid-60s and suddenly I'm in a panic. Do I have enough? Is that where are you going to take me?
Well, where I'm going to take you is we're going to, you know, I have two requirements that I have for people when they're getting ready to retire. Not every advisor does this. This is just something that I implemented in my practice with my clients about 3 years ago. First thing they have to do is they do a three-month budget before they retire. So we figure out what are you really spending your money on? You know, how much are you spending on gas? How much are you spending on foods? How much are you spending going out to dinner and to the movies and such? Do you have a lot of debt? You know, where do you really sit? So it is a financial plan to a certain degree. And then secondarily, I ask my clients, what is your schedule going to look like when you retire? What are you going to do during the day? You're going to go to a Bible study? You're going to go to, a quilting group? You're going to go play pickleball? Going to go play golf? What does your schedule look like? Because I found that my clients that actually have a schedule when they retire, as much as that sounds kind of antithetical, but they're the most joyful in retirement. They're the ones that are active and healthy and getting the most out of it. So there's a physical, not just financial aspect to retirement. But what we do is we sit down, we look at how much money do you have? Do you want to pay that house off? What is that? How does that affect your retirement? So we're looking at these multifacets. And if you notice through all of this, Chuck, I've never said what we're investing in, because so many people focus on what they're investing in, they forget why and how they need to invest in the sense of their current situation. So I always, I need to invest in this investment. Well, we don't even know if that investment is right based on what your needs and goals are. So that's why the planning aspect is so important first, to really see what the goals and needs are, and then we look at the investments and the risk level and that sort of thing.
All right, so now we've gone from to the 50-year-old, now to the fellow walks in. I'm 67 years old. I just retired. Here's my portfolio. I was unhappy with my last financial advisor. What's the next step for me and you together?
Yeah, so I let them, like we've been having on this conversation, I let them know how I do business and my staff and what we do, and if it's a good fit, then we usually do the paperwork, get the money transferred, and by then they kind of know the portfolio, where we're going. You know, I'm going to make maybe an assumption here, but maybe they're already getting their income, so we already know their portfolio can handle the income. Maybe they're just unhappy with service or whatever, and so we start that. We get the transition over. We get them set up on our review system, so they're coming in regularly for reviews. We get them on our newsletter list, you know, with some timely information and that sort of thing. And then as that relationship grows, and so now I'm going to beat you to the punch here, Chuck, but maybe now that client's now 75, right? We have two issues that we're going to have to start dealing with when we start dealing with your older clients is the estate planning process. What happens when the client dies? Maybe their wife is considerably younger, or maybe, you know, they want to help out their grandchildren, but not their children, right? Now we start getting into all these other different scenarios. And so we then start moving from more of the financial plan to that estate plan. What happens if you have to go into a nursing home? What happens if you need care in your own home? What happens if you want to sell your home and go to an assisted living facility? So we start going into that generational estate planning rather than financial planning. So sometimes it's a hard transition. But the majority of my clients who we've been walking them along the way, they know that it's just a natural progression of the next things to talk about.
All right. Well, we're still lots more to talk about, but because we're talking about financial things. I have some financial things I have to take care of here. So I'm going to pay a couple of bills here, and we'll be right back with Brian Russell of Rubicon Advisors.
A family second.
Welcome back to the Tuesday Talk Show. Rubicon Advisors, Brian Russell is online with us here. Brian, there are lots of financial products out there. So tell me, what are we talking about here? Mutual funds, CDs, what do you recommend your clients? Is there one out there that is always safe, or is it too risky? You tell me.
Well, not to go into specific products, because it's my compliance doesn't like when we talk specific products over the radio. But there is a scale level, right? You got your individual CDs, which are usually FDIC insured. Then you have your what we would call like market link CDs, which tend to be a little more a part of the market, up to maybe certain positions. Then you can start going to your bond funds, maybe municipal bonds, et cetera. And then maybe then you go into, what we call balance funds that are maybe a mixture of bonds and stocks. And then maybe you go into funds like your Verizons, your PG&Es, things that are more dividend based positions. Those are what we call our value funds. And then you go into your pure growth funds, that are just stocks that are, they don't care about paying a dividend. They just want to grow. So they tend to be a lot more volatile and a little more risky. So I think that's kind of the scale of where of investments kind of lie. Unless we deal with like a CD or an FDIC insured product, I'm not allowed to ever say anything's guaranteed. But we truly try to put things together that are safer or that have not as much volatility in them.
All right. Without volatility. Hearing a lot about gold and silver these days, is that something that you deal with here? Do I want the hard metals, or do I just want a certificate saying I've got some?
We do deal with the commodity sector. We do gold and silver. We don't deal with the hard materials. They're usually in the form of a trust or a share class of gold or silver, or platinum, or copper, or whatever material you would like to purchase, but you're not buying the hard material that you're putting in your safe. You're buying it via in the portfolio, and so there's a position there that you would own in the portfolio.
All right. We're coming down towards the end of the program here, and we've got some time left here, but I wanted to get to just some other questions here. Let's see. Well, let's just move into what people need to take away from today's program, and what can I expect from Rubicon Advisors?
Yeah, that's a great question. So one of the things that I'm proud to say that Rubicon does is that we do want to support the local community. Here in the Sacramento area, we work with the Boys and Girls Club. We had the opportunity to be the presenting sponsors for the LEAP Celebrity Golf Invitational in support of the National Epilepsy Foundation. We've been doing that for 6 years, and last year we were nominated for a Luminary Award, which in our industry are different categories, but we were specifically chosen in corporate social responsibility or how we're giving back to the community. So that's something I'm looking forward to that we can do up in Grants Pass, is helping out with groups like Aspire and other nonprofits that may be near to dear to our hearts. And but I want people, as they think about their advisor or who they're working with currently, or whether or not they want to come and work with us, is I remember a story. I was at a golf tournament. This was about 5 years ago, and I was looking to the right of me, and there was a celebrity there. I'm not going to mention who on the radio, but there was a celebrity there. We were chatting, and he found out I was the financial advisor sponsoring the golf tournament, and he kind of shied away. And I found that in the industry, when people find out what I do, they tend to shrink away because they're just thinking I'm going to sell them something. But I asked him a question. I said, hey, let me ask you a question. If you were to pass away tomorrow, is your family taken care of? Do you have that guy that's going to sit there and hold your wife's hand and make sure that she doesn't get taken advantage of, that your kids, with what you want to leave for their schooling or to start them out in life, do you have that guy? And he said, yeah, I do. He goes, I've got a guy I've been working with forever in LA. And I said, that's great. You got a guy. And he realized I wasn't there to sell him. I was just asking him a simple question. And that's what I would like to leave your listeners with today, is just for a lot of the listeners, I'm their guy. They're my clients forever, and I love them, and they've been very supportive of our firm and as well as me. But if you don't have that guy, or you're questioning whether or not you have that guy, I'd ask you to give us a call, because that's what we're here for. We're here to make sure that we're there holding your hand when life throws a curveball, or when you just need that extra support in getting yourselves to those next levels.
All right, so you just want to be the guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll be the guy.
All right. Outside of finance, Brian, what are some of the things you do to stay grounded, to really keep in touch with yourself and your family?
I go to church down here, a small little church in Vacaville, and just proud to be there. When I lived in Grants Pass, we went up to River Valley, and then I'm very humbled and keeps me grounded. I enjoy golf, but I'm absolutely horrible at it. But I do enjoy getting out there and seeing some of the best courses. I've had the opportunity to play.
So I don't dare
Pebble Beach.
So I don't dare ask about handicap, huh?
Say that again, Chuck, sorry.
So I don't dare ask about handicap, huh?
No, that handicap is pretty rough. It's pretty rough. But I make a good scramble partner, for sure. My wife, Allison, and I, we just celebrated 27 years of marriage, and we enjoy traveling and enjoy the empty nesting life. Kids are in college, and so that's kind of my day.
All right. Now, for anybody out there who is curious and wants to learn more, what's the best way to connect with you and Rubicon Advisors here in Grants Pass?
Yeah, so you can always feel free to come by the office and schedule an appointment, or you can call us at 541-956-4200. We can set up an appointment for you, as well as you can check us out online at RubiconAdvisors.com. And one other thing, starting November 1st, we will be adjusting the time with you guys when we do our normal radio program. I think it's 7 a.m. Yeah, we're going to be adjusting that. We're going to be starting that on November, I think it's actually November 3rd, which is that Monday. But we're going to be starting at 9 a.m. and doing our morning investment talk at 9 a.m. starting on November. And so very excited about that. But that's how you get a hold of us.
All right, and we'll send Robert Holland out on a great retirement here.
And we are.
He'll be
through
the end of November.
We're very happy for him. And he's hopefully I can live up to the legacy of what he built up there, and I'm excited about the future.
All right. Once again, Brian, why don't you give me your contact information here in Grants Pass, just so the people get it here, phone numbers and
So that's we're located at 315 Southwest 7th Street, catty corner from the old downtown theater. Phone number is 956-4200, and you can look us up online at RubiconAdvisors.com.
All right. One final thought before we sign off here, and it's been a fascinating conversation with you this morning, Brian. One thing you want the people to remember?
Yeah, one thing I want people to remember. I've been doing this for a while. And the data that I've seen and the numbers I've seen, the market is going to go up, market's going to go down. Again, save, stay out of debt, and just stay consistent. Implement a plan, stick with it, don't jump in and out of the market. Just hold tight and things will be okay. And just know that, Rubicon Advisors, we're excited about the future in Grants Pass, and we're excited about working with you guys as clients. And whatever you need, we're here to help.
All right. Thank you very much, Brian Russell, Rubicon Advisors, right here in Grants Pass. Now, thank you very much for your time today, and we'll send people your way.
All right. Thank you, Chuck. Bye, Grants Pass. Enjoy the weather today.
All right. Thank you very much, Brian Russell, Rubicon Advisors, right here on KAJO Radio. We'll be back with more right after this word.